Was it the Cape Drive time? And welcome to Free Book Friday. In my hands, a book entitled E.B. Khoibe, a memoir of shenanigans between Durban and Bombay. The author is Ibrahim Essa. Ibrahim Essa is a comic book and Hindi film aficionado based in Durban. He taught high school physical science for 30 years before retiring in 2016. He is a widely published letter writer to various newspapers across South Africa. And he's the author of the life story of Suleiman Essa Patel and was also a contributor to the anthology Undressing Durban, which appeared in 2007. E.B. Khoibe is Ibrahim Essa's first solo project, and it's this book is published by a company called Social Bandit. Ibrahim Essa, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum salam. Now, and welcome to all the listeners and the presenter.
Indeed. Now, I'm going to sort of ask the last question first. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that you would now be doing a radio interview about a book that you, Ibrahim Essa, had a hand in writing, that you wrote it?
Sorry, your name is Shafi.
Yeah, my name is Shafiq, that's right.
Hey, Shafiq. Shafiq, salam alaikum.
Salam.
I think that books are meant to be written by, or I thought, meant to be written by masters, professors, qualified guys in the arts and science and drama and philosophy and politics. I'm none of that. So I never dreamt that I would have my name on the front cover of any book that I had written. This was a handwritten, scribbled, staple set of pages for just home consumption, really.
And of course, now it's for national consumption, because in my hand, I have a copy of a book, nicely printed, and it's got all your stories in it.
Yeah, it's a little bit more than that now. it's available in Australia and India and US, so it's becoming a little bit international. I must boast a little bit.
Well, why not? And how is it being received? I mean, it's a very warm book, I must say. Warm, it's humorous, and it's real fun.
Yeah, we had a family launch, so to speak. We had about 50 people there, and it was very well received. And normally at a launch, you get guys that patronize, and out of embarrassment, they would buy a book. And this must have happened there as well. But when they got home, unsolicited, calls I got plenty of that said that they loved the book and they couldn't put it down, and some of them actually fighting to read it first.
Yeah, I mean, tell them not to fight about it. Tell them to buy another copy.
Yeah, we are running out of books already, in fact.
No, that's really good to hear. Now, it's entitled A Memoir of Shenanigans Between Durban and Bombay. Wonderful, dry sense of humor. But there's one event, instance in the book you have to tell us about, and that's when you almost burn down a petrol station, when you attach a firecracker to a paper boat, because you're going to make this paper boat go very fast across a puddle, but unbeknown to you or maybe anybody else, the puddle also had petrol and other stuff in it. Just tell us what happened.
Yeah, you see, each of the chapters in the book has got a title from some Indian movie. And this one here was in Hindi, Aag Se Khelenge, means playing with fire. It was 1958, Pravin Gordhan. Yes, the very same Pravin Gordhan who is our financial minister, gave me the usual Diwali packet of assorted firecrackers. His dad and my father were partners in a sari business those days. So I pulled out his so-called firework that's called a devil chaser, which would run wild on the ground once lit, and I placed it in a paper boat. I made it float on water that, as you said, was just outside the garage gutter. And it had flammable petrol, et cetera, which I didn't even know about, oil and diesel. And I wanted to show off, as usual, to my friends about how rocket propulsion worked. I forgot that the water had all this flammable stuff. And when I lit it, well, you don't want to know what happened after that, do you? You'll have to read the book.
Yeah, well, let me just quickly say, you nearly burnt down the petrol station.
Absolutely.
And your mother kept on saying, yeah, you burnt everything. But fortunately for you, she was just referring to samosas and a frying pan and not the petrol station.
you're stealing my punchline. Huh?
But don't worry, there are 100 other punchlines in the book. Don't worry about
plenty of them.
Now, you know, when we look at your life and times, you also got sent to Bombay to go and study. So you, a total stranger South African, you end up in India. What was that like in those days as a South African arriving in India and actually finding you've got family there?
It was incredible. You know, I'm a bit of a loner. I didn't even know my own relatives at that stage. And I hadn't even gone further than like 10 or 15 kilometers out of Durban. The most I might have been to was Maritzburg, about 70 kilometers away. And for me to get onto a ship that's called the Karanja and takes 21 days to get across, it was like really crazy. Especially because I was having a real good time in those days where I was living. Between 1961 and 1964, when I was doing my matric, etc., having good fun with my friends, playing all kinds of games, and good childhood. And then suddenly matric comes, and then UDW, at those days it was called Salisbury Island University, and I didn't like the feel of that place, so my dad just decided to put me onto a ship, and it takes 21 days. It gets you go from Durban to Beira. And then from Beira you get to those days Lawrence Omar, and then after that you get to Tanzania, Mombasa, etc., Seychelles, and then finally after 21 days, exactly 21 days, you get to Bombay. So it was quite like, you know, homesickness and seasickness and all kinds of sicknesses on that ship.
Yeah, I mean a long journey, really long journey, and you must have been homesick, I'm sure, at least a half a day when you were sort of out of Durban.
Absolutely. I was all the time thinking, when would I get back? That was on the ship and the initial stages of my stay in India. But after a little while, I got used to it. And in fact, at the end, I didn't want to come back.
Yeah, I mean, India's a different place, isn't it? Or the India that you certainly went to was a very different place.
Yeah, it was just about 1947, India got independence, and this was 1965. So they were not even 20 years different between those periods, and so they were still struggling with a whole lot of poverty, etc., and like even bottled water wasn't available, food was most times, like by our standards, very unhygienic. So it was quite a bit of a battle, but at the same time, the pace of life was a little bit different those days, and there was something about the old India that was still available in the cities. Most of that is now, because of technological advancements, etc., most of that is now gone in the major cities, but it's still available, it's still prevalent in the rural areas.
Indeed. Now, the title of the book is E.B. Khoibi. Now, there's a big story to that. That was a sign that was on a door of a flat that your father very generously got for you when you were studying, so you could have some privacy and you could study properly. Tell us about E.B. Khoibi. Who was E.B. Khoibi?
You see, when my dad, I was living in a hostel in Andheri, that's a suburb of Bombay, and the conditions were not very good, as I said. My dad saw the poor condition when he gave me a surprise visit, and he decided that, well, he had enough money to buy me a flat, which was a three-room flat those days. And you're not going to believe this, but it cost 50,000 rupees that time, and that time the currency rate was 10 rupees per rand.
Okay.
So effectively, it cost me 5,000 rand for that flat, which you cannot buy with any amount of money today in that area. Anyway, He even fully furnished it for me, and it was like it was going to be a lap of luxury living there and studying. But then I felt that my friends might like parasite on me, and each of them would want to come and stay with me, because there were three rooms, a lot of space available, and I thought this would cramp my style. So my father and I put our heads together, and we said, okay, listen, I want you to make a nameplate. He says, what name do you want? What name do you want on the nameplate? So I said, if anybody. He said, what do you mean anybody? I said, literally anybody, in Gujarati and in Arabic and Urdu. We both came up with this name, E.B. Khoibi, which means literally anybody for that matter. So when my friends came along, I would just tell them that, listen, I'm just a subtenant here. And the owners are from Gujarat, and they come every now and then, and they cramp my style. So there's no way that you guys can live here. You can come and have a party here if you want. You can't stay overnight.
So Ebi Koibi was your protector for all those years.
Yeah, I was a liar from that time.
Now, you know, I mean, there's so many things in the book. Obviously, we can't cover them all. And we're talking about Ibrahim Essa's Ebi Koibi and memoir of shenanigans between Durban and Bombay. And it's a very easy read. It's a warm read, but it's a really funny book. It's got an absolutely delightful sense of humor. But as you say, each section has been dedicated to a movie or Hindi song. Where did your love for all these movies and all this music come from? Because it's a tapestry right through the book.
See, I was born in Mayville, which is a suburb of Durban. My youngest brother, Ahmed, had not been born. It was early 1950s, so I was the youngest. Elder sisters, both sisters and elder brother were at school. And my dad was, for some reason, not in Durban for a number of years. He was in India. And so it was a very lonely existence at that period. Most times I was alone with my mom, so I used to sneak out sometimes outside the house and explore the dense guava bushes that were around the cottage, and often heard Indian music wafting itself through the trees and from some neighbor's houses. This must have had a hypnotic effect on me, and the lonely existence and the otherwise quiet surroundings, the domestic squabbles, sometimes there was violence also at home. I think it must have all like gelled together and mingled in my small head. I became hooked from that time to especially music by that maestro Naushad, who was like a king at that period. Also became a collector of 78 RPM records of yesteryear and still watch old black and white movies of the 40s and 50s. It's a period, I think, which is universally recognized as the golden period of movies and music of India.
Indeed. I mean, a lot of people that I know talk with great fondness about that particular era and know every single song off by heart.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if you have to ask me, give me the name of the music director or the singer or who was the song being dubbed in that era or something, I'll be able to tell you even now.
No, it's absolutely amazing, and you're not lonely with that. Obviously, I don't have to tell you that, the amazing era of Indian music and film. And, I mean, even I'm sure you to a degree today, even the gloss of today doesn't compare to the earthiness and, I think, the sincerity of those days.
No, absolutely not. You see, somehow that period there was, you know, somebody, I think it was one of these prominent Urdu poets, I think his name is Javed Akhtar. You know, he says that why isn't there any sad movies being made anymore? Is there no more sorrow in the world? And the funny thing is that most, because it was just after independence, and it was partition and poverty, etc., riots, it was a very, very bad period for India. And emanating from that were movies that were also, like many of them, full of sadness. So it seems like sadness remains longer in the head than like frivolous stuff. So I think nowadays it has become like ultra frivolous. You know, it's aided by all this CGS images, etc., computer. Most of it is like really chewing gum stuff. You come out of the cinema and you can't remember a single tune, or you can't even remember a single song for that matter.
No, absolutely. Unfortunately, we have to leave it to Ibrahim Essa, the author of Ebi Koibi, a memoir of shenanigans between Durban and Bombay. It is a thoroughly recommended read. It's easy to read. It's got, as I say, a tapestry of Hindi and movies and music. Absolutely, it's hilarious in places, and I'm not going to give away all the funny stories that are in this book. So if anybody is interested, and of course, if you were in Durban, grew up in Durban, this is a must for you. But didn't grow up in Durban, you want to find out about what it was like, buy it anyway. Social Bandit is the publishing house. Ibrahim Essa, it's been a pleasure chatting to you. We're going to give away a free copy of your book later on in the show. But everything of the best with Ebi Koibi, a memoir of shenanigans between Durban and Bombay, may it fly off the shelves, inshallah.
Can I tell your readers where it's available in Cape Town?
Please do, yes.
Yeah, it's at Clark's Books.
Clark's
in Cape Town, it's available at Clark's Books, yeah.
Right, Clark's Books in Long Street. You can't miss it. Go there and get your copy of Ebi Koibi, a memoir of shenanigans between Durban and Bombay. Clark's Bookshop, Long Street in Cape Town. Ibrahim Issa, shukran.
Thank you so much. Jazakallah.